If you want to support the show, you can go to mwpnews.com/support, where you can pick up my latest book, Succession Planning, and all my other books that have previously been released on Kindle for only $2.99 each. Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam, and we're here for this week's episode where we talk about a bunch of cool stuff. Quick programming note, next week the episode will not be up at 9 a.m. It'll be later in the evening. Why? Because the Oscars are Sunday night, and rather spend an episode where we do, you know, all the Oscar stuff, and, you know, before it happens, we're going to do it after. We're going to do it the next day. I'll do it after work. So the episode on Monday will go up around 7 p.m. Same as last week, the way we did on the backlog files. We did it for the Pokemon Presents. So without further ado, let's get into this week. We're going to look at some quick bits. As always, if you want to support the show, you can go to mwpnews.com. There you can pick up my books for $2.99 each. That really helps support us, because that is entirely going to help us. In terms of podcasts this week, yesterday we had Zone of Interest, and on Saturday of last week we had the Dune Part 2 spoiler cast. Tomorrow morning on the Backlog Files we will have Pokemon Crystal. Today, at the same time this is going up, we have Maestro. Beware of spoilers. Tomorrow on Beware of Spoilers we have Naiad. We have a new episode of Exploring Hyperspace Lanes Wednesday at 9 on their feed. For Beware of Spoilers, on Thursday, we have The Bad Batch, Episode 5. We also have Garden Life, A Cozy Simulator on the Backlog Files this week. And rounding out the week, we have, on Sunday, a collection of Oscar-nominated shorts available on streaming on Beware of Spoilers, where I'll go in and I'll look at the various shorts that are available to watch on the streaming services, and we'll talk about some of those. Like, I know the ABC's A Book Banning is on Paramount+. I know that Disney has one of them. But we'll talk about that more on Sunday of next week. This coming Sunday. So let's get into the news of the week. The news of the week being some, you know, not great news on some fronts, some good news on other fronts. Let's start out with let's get the bad news out of the way. And then we'll do the funny news after that. I mean, the sad news, we are having sizable layoffs at EA and Sony. Which begs a few questions, because here's the thing. Number one, we talked a few weeks ago about the new Respawn Entertainment, Mandalorian first-person shooter. I wasn't super gung-ho about it, but it is what it is. That's since been canceled as part of these layoffs that are impacting various studios at EA, and then independently, Sony has a bunch of layoffs happening, too. This leads me to question the health and longevity of the video game industry as a whole. Because here's the issue. It is the video game industry is coming off a year where they had an unprecedented amount of profits. So much money got made last year in the video game industry with huge tentpole releases. You had Spider-Man be the fastest-selling game on the PS5. Hogwarts Legacy did big numbers for Avalanche. Respawn had Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Microsoft had a few major releases, including Starfield. And all we're seeing is layoffs. And look, definitely part of this is trend chasing went wrong. And because trend chasing went wrong, a lot of people who aren't the CEOs who made these decisions are going to have to pay the price for these things, which is fucked up. Because here's the issue. During COVID, when everyone had time to be home, there was a huge surge in people playing live service games, games that are offered on a continuous basis where there are things monetized along the way. You may not pay up front. Sometimes you do. You may not pay up front, but along the way, there are other things as the game updates, like a battle pass or something like that. These live service games were such a cash cow for companies at that time that every other company wanted to emulate that. It's like, oh, they're doing that? We want to make that money too. We want a piece of that pie. And so you end up, Sony's doing this huge live service push, and you have all these companies that are doing these huge live service pushes. And at the end of the day, the question is, like, if I'm I don't play online games. Let's say I'm a Fortnite person. Am I gonna leave Fortnite to go play Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League? Like, if I'm already someone who plays an extraction shooter like The Division, am I someone who's gonna go and play this new one? No, my friends are already here. This is where we play. This is kind of where we do that. This is where we exist. We're not gonna move to another, platform, more or less. And therein lies the problem. There is the fundamental miscalculation that happened with this. This idea that if everyone has one, everyone will jump in. That is not the case. That is not the case. And then what ended up happening was they ended up staffing up thinking, oh, this gravy train's never going away. We're gonna have this forever. And now we're starting to see the impact of that. And the issue is we're not in a situation where games appear to be like it appears that even the games that are making a lot of money aren't making enough to turn a profit. It's like when we talk about the film industry, we talk about superhero movies being the thing where it's like, oh, they're getting too big. And we talk about the idea of superhero fatigue, which really isn't fair when you talk about it, like we don't talk about horror fatigue. Like every year there are dozens of horror movies that come out, and I would say about half of them are not good. Maybe three quarters are not good. So we don't talk about horror fatigue because even the bad ones turn a profit because the budget is under $20 million. So over a theatrical run, plus home media, plus streaming, it'll turn a nice little profit for the company. Like, no matter what Blumhouse does, they'll always make money on their movies because their movies are so cheap and everyone will go out and a bunch of anyone who likes horror or most people who like horror will go out to see those movies. The issue is the superhero movie costs $200 million, $100 to $200 million. You need to put in a lot of money into that, and then on top of that, marketing, and then on top of that, like you're looking at about $500,000 to break even. Which, if the movie's not good, people aren't going to show up to see. It's a problem that's plaguing that. Similarly, if you keep putting money into these things, it's like video game development, some of these budgets are, we're looking at like $500 million in development costs. And if that's the case, then who's gonna, like, how much do you have to actually make to turn a profit? And that's kind of where we are. That's kind of why we're in this scenario now where things keep getting, where things are not going well. Even though it seems like they should be, we need to dial it back. We need to dial back what we expect from our games. I don't know about anyone else out there. Maybe I'm alone in this. I don't need photorealistic graphics. I don't need the game to look like I'm playing real life. I don't need the game to be 700 hours. I just need the game to be entertaining while I'm playing it and keep my mind off of whatever bullshit I have going on in real life. That's what I'm here to play the game for. Like, Stardew Valley, very simplistic game. And I can't wait for 1.6 to come out later this month. Like, I sit here, I play, what's it called? I'll dabble in and out of various Pokemon games. And I would assume, like, we don't see these layoffs coming from Game Freak. I mean, granted, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet's the third top-selling game in the franchise's history. But, like, I'm looking at, like, you don't see these things coming from them. It's only these big Western AAA companies that are like, well, we're gonna do these giant games. Like, no, give me a concise experience that I will enjoy. Like, and to an extent, Spider-Man was that, but Spider-Man was expensive to make. Keep it cheap. That's what it is. We're getting too big. And I think to an extent, I'm not indicative of the wider audience. I think that's apparent. Like I'm not, I'm not someone who speaks for everyone. I speak for probably the minority here, who's like, I want shorter games. I want games that may not look as good. I just want a memorable experience. Because even as someone who plays retro games a lot, I still have more fun with older games than I do with newer games sometimes. And maybe that's just me. I think it is just me. But if we want this system to be tenable going forward, we can't keep it where we are right now. Because here's the thing. We may be at a point now where GTA 6 cost allegedly $2 billion to make. If that's the case, how the fuck is that game ever going to turn a profit? Like it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think about. And we gotta think about this as a people where it's like we got to like scale back expectations for what a game should be. Scale back the expectations. Not every game has to be massive. Story 2 tangentially related. We had the Pokemon Presents this week. I'm not going to go into it. If you want to hear my thoughts on the Pokemon Presents, head on over to Exploring Hyperspace Lanes. There you can listen to whatever I said the other day about what I think about that. The reason why I bring it up, though, is because leading up to it, we had tons of purported leakers who were like, we're getting something Johto related, which is, gold and silver. We're getting something Unova related, which is black and white. We're getting something in those two regions. That's what we're getting. We're getting something like that. And we've been hearing that for like 2 weeks now, leading up to this presentation. Presentation comes up. No, we're not getting that. We're getting Pokemon Legends Z-A, which is a sequel, it appears, from the trailer. It looks like it's a Legends game, but instead of being set in the past, it's set in the future. Or it could be set in the past. I've seen people will speculate that it's set in the past too. But either way, it's a Legends game, so it's not set in like quote unquote current times for Pokemon. And if that's the case, then where, either way, it's set in entirely in Lumiose City. So my question is, where were all those leakers who were like, we got this, we know it's coming? Silence. And the reason why I bring that up is because earlier this week, the Cosmic Circus, which is fitting considering it's run by a bunch of clowns, and I made that joke the other day, and you'll hear it again on Wednesday if you listen to Exploring Hyperspace Lanes, they revealed, allegedly, that the title for the new Jedi Order movie that is in development, starring, Daisy Ridley reprising his Rey, will be called Star Wars Episode 10, A New Beginning. Which, okay, like, when I saw that initially, I'm like, all right, makes sense, because the episode movies do money. If you say this is episode 10, we're continuing the story, I am there. I don't know how it rectifies, considering it was meant to be the end of the Skywalker saga with episode 9, and if we're continuing, that's kind of weird. Whatever, we'll see when it comes out. That same day, Lucasfilm publicly refuted it through someone at Bloomberg said, no, Lucasfilm was adamant this is not correct. The movie will not be called Episode 10, A New Beginning. The movie is only being referred to as New Jedi Order internally. So far, we do not have an official title, but we know it's not that. Which, I've been saying it for years. You can go through the podcast feed of episodes of this show, and you can see me say time and time again, we have to stop listening to leakers. Because a lot of time, all a leaker is a very good guesser. They can look at trends and they can be like, okay, so we had this, we had this, we had this. Likely the next thing we're gonna have is this new thing that's coming. Like, a lot of times that's kind of where this is. And like that was why it's like, when you looked at We Got This Covered, it's like they didn't do a great job of covering up the fact that their leaker was just one person who was making stuff up. And it's like, obviously, this leaker is bullshit because it's like they're an insider at like seven different studios who knows everything. It's like, no, you're making shit up and you're just adding, you're trying to legitimize it. Because, like, if you went through and mapped out all of the leaks that they had in common, it was all going back to one person at the end of the day. And it's like, well, you're full of shit on this. So, look, we're in a weird time right now where everyone feels the need. Like, it's not enough to just want to know every bit of information early, but it's enough where people will make stuff up and kind of just hope that people run with it and look at headlines. And that's kind of the issue with the state of the internet right now. Number one, it's an issue with Twitter in general and all social media, where it's you want engagement and engagement helps you. And if you want engagement, the easiest way to do it is to make up some bullshit and hope people will fall for it. But to get them to click on your site, you want to make shit up that sounds believable. So that way they go in and click the site and you get the ad revenue. Which is why this show, we don't do that, which is why our numbers are so low. Like, we don't make shit up for the sake of making shit up. We only go through verified sources and sources that have some credibility to them. Like, a good amount of the time, I aggregate the news on this from IGN, from comicbook.com, from if I'm getting video game stuff, it'll be like Video Game Chronicle. It'll be these reputable sources that are, places that I know actually have insider information. If they have it, if they're reporting it. And it's not here to be like, oh, well, we're here to do this to make shit up to get you to click. It's we are telling you this, you may click on it, but we're not making shit up to get you to click on it. And that's kind of where this kind of falls. I just thought it was funny because Lucasfilm does not usually do this. Lucasfilm does not usually go out and say, like, look, we're not, you know, this rumor is patently untrue. They usually just let it ride, which I thought was a nice little thing they did here, was just being like, no, we're cutting this off at the pass. Which brings us to our next story, Tron Ares. We got some information about Tron Ares, where we have a sizable cast in this movie. We knew Jared Leto, Greta Lee, Evan Peters, Hasan Minhaj, Jodie Turner-Smith, Arturo Castro, Cameron Monaghan, Gillian Anderson, and it's like we have a huge cast going on here. And I'm interested in Disney taking another shot at Tron. I think Tron is a franchise that has a lot of meat on its bones, especially where we are now. We also got our first look at Jared Leto in it, and I love the look of this. It looks like it's continuing the aesthetic from Legacy, which Legacy was not bad. I mean, it's not great, but it's not bad. And the visuals of that movie are astounding. And we have an official synopsis. Tron Ares will follow a highly sophisticated program called Ares, who is sent from the digital world into the real world on a real mission, on a dangerous mission, marking humankind's first encounter with AI beings. I am very interested in this movie. I think this could be a great step for science fiction. Like, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the Dune episode, where it's like the lesson that should be learned from Dune should be, if I'm a studio head, I'm going to the directors that I work with a lot who can consistently output good work, and I'm like, okay, what book do you really like? And let's see if we can get the rights to do that. And look, I have a feeling we're gonna get that. Like, I think the next book adaptation in this realm that we're gonna get that's gonna be very similar is going to be The Children of Blood and Bone. Which is being worked on by, I forgot her name, the director of The Woman King. But she's doing Children of Blood and Bone. That could be fantastic. I'm looking for studios to go out there and try to make big moves by being like, look, we'll give you the budget. We're going to trust you to make this movie, and we're going to let it be big. That should be the lesson from Dune Part 2, being this giant cultural phenomenon. As part two of the first Dune book in theatrical form. Like, it's a fantastic movie, yes, but that's what audiences want to see. Audiences will show up if you have a good movie that's well made. And if this movie is good and well made, I think we're looking at a great situation where we could have another great science fiction hit on our hands. Hopefully it's good. Our next story. Iman Vellani said that she is anticipating returning as Miss Marvel. She has been told that yes, there are plans for her to return, but she has not been entirely caught up with what these are. I don't know why this is a huge news story. I think that the end of the Marvels kind of sets up that she is going to return, like that ending with her. And spoilers, we talked about the Marvels last week or 2 weeks ago, but her meeting up with Kate Bishop and being like, you know, her being the Nick Fury to the Young Avengers is kind of cool. So yeah, I was anticipating her coming back. I didn't think that she was done. But you know, I'm interested to see how that goes. I want to see her come back. I really enjoyed her in both Ms. Marvel and the Marvels. It's just perfect casting. And our final story, probably the biggest good news story of the week. Superman Legacy has dropped Legacy from its title. It'll just be called Superman, and we got our first look at David Corenswet's Superman costume. It's very clearly inspired by, I forgot what I was saying with that. Glad I had to answer a text because people can't read my schedule. Right, the new suit very obviously Kingdom Come inspired. I do like that look. And I'm looking forward to this movie. I think next year we could be looking at a marquee year for movies. I think Captain America. Well, first of all, let's address this. I think we've talked about it before. I think Blade gets delayed out of 2025 into 2026. Beyond that, I think we have, you know, I think Captain America gets delayed to May. I think that, oh wait, no, they have three next year. Yeah, that's right. They have Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts might get delayed too. But I think that, assuming everything kind of moves a little bit, like we're looking at Thunderbolts. We're looking at, and if nothing moves, we have Thunderbolts, Blade. We have, what was the other big one? The other two, Fantastic Four, and we have Captain America. We have four Marvel movies next year. We also have, who are the other big ones that we have? We have Superman Legacy. We have Tron: Ares. We have a new Jurassic World movie. There is so much on the table in terms of potentially great content that I think next year could make up for this year being kind of lackluster. Because me and Peter talked about it a little bit yesterday. The idea that, like, well, right now, Dune Part 2 is the movie to beat. What's gonna beat it? And it's like, unless Deadpool is stellar, which I don't think it's gonna, I think it's gonna be good, but not good enough to unseat Dune Part 2. Same with Furiosa. We have a pretty booked year. And it's like we have a pretty, I'm sorry, a light year this year, booked year next year. It could be interesting to see where things lay out and how things play out going into the rest of this year. But I think this suit shows we're on the right path with Superman Legacy, and I want to see. And I mean, the colors are vibrant and bright. I'm looking forward to this. And I think that I want to see. I want to see what comes from this movie. And hopefully we get that sooner rather than later. I don't think we get a trailer until next year, though. But let's go on to box office from last weekend. At number one, debuting and being the number one earning movie, the number one movie at the box office 2024 so far, only to be unseated by Deadpool 3 later this year, is Dune Part 2 with 81.5 million. Number two, we have Bob Marley One Love dropping down with 7.4 million. Ordinary Angels at 3.8 million at number three. Number four, we have Madame Web staying steady with 3.2 million. And The Fathom Event, The Chosen Season 4, Episodes 7 and 8, takes the number five spot with 3.1 million. Expanded collection this week. No new major releases coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week. Coming to theaters this week, though, we do have Imaginary, the new Blumhouse horror movie, and Kung Fu Panda 4, the long-awaited movie, fourth movie in the Kung Fu Panda franchise. And on that note, we will wrap up there for today. So until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.